Joel's disappeared, not literally, but no, his son's 7th birthday, so he's gone off to dress up as a clown and do the party thing. He's not going to wear a onesie, Neville. No. What we thought we'd do in this session, just before lunch, we'll just talk for half an hour and then we'll have lunch, is just, Joe and I will just tell our story a little bit. So you've heard from Joel kind of the bigger picture and some theology behind it. You can't get Joel on his feet without him getting excited about theology and some of the history and some of the story there. So we felt it would be really helpful just to kind of pitch in with our own personal story of how God's led us to this point and where we're at and how things are kind of beginning to progress for this kind of infant church plant. So why don't you come join me? Glennis, could you put there's a picture of us and our kids up. There we go. Actually, I'm not in the picture, but there's Joe. Millie is the... Oh, wait a minute, come back. Millie's the one in the carrier. Why don't you explain the family?
Okay, so I'm going to... I appreciate that. I'm going to go oldest first, though. So this is our eldest daughter, Ellie. She will be 8 next month. Then Lydia at the front here, who is 6. And Annie Peakin, she is as cheeky as she looks. And she is 4. And Millie is 2. And at some point during our story, so I'm going to get in there first, Matt will refer to the fact that I am older than him by 2 years. And I'm just going to quickly scoop that in now because he just likes to embarrass me with that. So I'm just going to quickly say that now. I'm 34 and Matt is 32.
I wasn't going to say that actually, but thanks for doing it. Right. Let's go back to the beginning. So I think for me, God first began to speak to me about church planting when probably I was about 16 years old. I was at some sort of New Frontiers event, and God kind of put something on my heart, a passion for planting churches. And I came back to my church. I was in Bedford at the time, and I told the leader, I think what I actually said to him is, I want to be an apostle. I had no idea even what that meant. I still don't know what that means. And he said to me, great, his exact words were, go and clean some toilets. That's what he got me doing. So he realized at 16, I was probably a bit young at that point. But when you're 16, you think, yeah, I'll do that in a couple of years' time. You feel kind of quite excited about it. But he said, look, just go and serve in the church, which is a good lesson for any of us here who are kind of at the start of thinking of what God's got for me. Sometimes a good place to start is just to serve and get stuck in where you are. So that's what I did. And then we met when I was...
Just a little bit of backstory for me, I guess. I was part of a Christian family, grew up in a Christian home, and at the age of 15, my parents decided to go church planting in a little village called Holt. It's maybe a town, I don't know, in the middle of North Norfolk, which as a 15-year-old, you're like, that is the worst idea anyone could possibly have. But like Matt, I feel like God started something in me in terms of church planting and kind of being on mission and being part of a family. So even before we'd even met, just felt like God was talking to us about church planting.
Yeah, we met when I was 20 and Joe was 22. And
did we not?
Oh no, we did. We got married. We met before that, and yeah. So I think even before we got married, even before we were engaged, we talked about church planting. I think that was something that we'd kind of discussed and kind of even dreamt a bit about together. And then I moved away. I moved to Torquay for. Not to run away, but I went to do kind of a year out in a church, in a church plant in Torquay in Devon. And then I moved back to get married. Bedford's the sort of place, when you grow up in Bedford, you don't really want to move back there. If you have the opportunity to move away, you stay away, you don't come back. But I came back to get married, and the one prayer at the time I had was, God, I don't want to go back to the job I had before. I'd spent a year doing data entry in a call center, although they wouldn't let me use the phone, so I just used to do data entry, which is like getting numbers from a bit of paper onto a screen. I did that for a year, and it was horrible. So I then took a year out and then came back and said, God, the one thing, I'll do anything, and one thing I don't want to do is that job. And I spent three or four months looking for a job, temping, doing all sorts of stuff. Like, I worked on one of those buses for old people. I worked at the dump. I did literally everything, and I couldn't find a job. And then my old job said, oh, we've got this opening. Why don't you come back and put numbers onto computers again? Oh, you're kidding me. But, you know, we were getting married, so I needed to work. So I went back and did that job. And we got married, which was great. But I was thinking all the time, God, what have you got for us? Because I really don't want to spend my life doing data entry. And then we were actually on our honeymoon. We'd spent a week away in Cyprus, and then we came back and spent a week at home, just kind of sorting out our new flat. And I got a phone call from Joel, who was just speaking before, who I'd not actually really met before. In fact, I don't think I'd ever met him before. And Joel said, oh, Matt, why don't you come and have an interview, because I want you to work with me. I'm like, who are you? This is really weird. I'm on my honeymoon. Leave me alone. So I went and had a meeting with Joel and ended up working with Joel for probably about a decade. Joel runs New Day, which is the big kind of youth event that we run in New Frontiers for teenagers, gathers around 7,000 people. And Joel said, look, I've got this big idea, but I don't know how to make it happen. Will you come and do that for me? And I thought, I don't know how to make it happen, but great. So we got started on that, and that was my job while we were living in Bedford. And then in 2006, when Joel moved down here to Brighton, we moved down as well and kind of carried on being involved in that. And then in about 2010, we'd been married for 8 years, and I'd been working with Joel, making this New Day thing happen for a similar amount of time. And I felt that that God prompted me to stop doing that for various reasons. But I felt God just say to me really clearly, you need to stop that now. Because all the time we've been thinking, kind of holding on to this passion for church planting, and when you have something that God speaks to you about, and it takes a long time to work that out, there are seasons of being convinced about it, and there are seasons where you don't even think about it for quite a long time. So we were kind of up and down and trying to figure out what God had for us. And for a while, we even considered moving to Morocco, bizarrely, which we didn't do, but that was something we... yeah, we're not in Morocco. Yeah, this isn't some sort of trick day to say, actually, we're not going to Amsterdam. We're going to Casablanca. But so we're not. But we wondered even about that for a while, and but that didn't really... We explored it a bit, and it didn't kind of feel right, so we sort of put that down. And then, yeah, God said to me, right, it's time to stop New Day. I've got something else for you. But didn't really tell us what that was. So I basically kind of worked out like a year-long notice from the summer of 2010 through to 2011, and all the time asking God, what have you got for us? What's kind of on your heart? What have you got planned for us? And diddly squat, didn't hear anything at all. It was just kind of dead quiet on the God speaking to me about that front. There was nothing. And then we got all the way through to the summer, and we were at New Day. So New Day, if you've ever been to that sort of thing, they're pretty remarkable weeks when you're there. You've got 6,000-7,000 teenagers in a tent worshipping God, and many of them who would have arrived at the event not knowing Jesus, and then God breaks into their life. So you're seeing some remarkable things happen all the time. And particularly when you're involved in running something like that, when you're there, you think, how could I possibly do anything else? This is amazing. So I spent the whole week thinking, oh, I've made the wrong decision. Why am I stopping being involved in this event? This is brilliant, and God's using it, and God's using me in it. Maybe I should carry on. And it got to the second to last day, and then the day after that it finished, and my job finished, and that was over. Second to last day, and I'm in a bit of turmoil, thinking, what have you got for us? What's going on? And then someone grabbed Joe and I, a guy with a kind of quite a strong prophetic gift, grabbed us at the end of a meeting and prophesied over us for a number of minutes about a bunch of different stuff, but particularly about God kind of breathing life back into dreams he'd given us as teenagers, and particularly about moving to Europe, which was totally out there. I just thought, what on earth are you talking about? That's crazy. But we felt like God was in it, and he sort of delivered this hand grenade and then kind of toddled off, and as prophets tend to do. And then Joe says to me, oh, that was great. The Europe thing was a bit new. Where would we go? And I said, we should go to the Netherlands. It just sort of tumbled out of my mouth. And fine, let's do that. And then about 20 minutes later, I bumped into my brother, who's a pastor in Manchester, who's a kind of fatter, uglier version of myself. And it's true. And he said to me, I was explaining this kind of prophetic word and what I felt God was saying. And he said to me, oh, that Europe thing is a bit new. He said, where would you go? And before I could answer, he answered his own question and said, you should go to Holland. You should go to the Netherlands. That's where you should go. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. You know, well, that's bizarre. I felt that. And then 20 minutes later, my brother says the same thing. And now my family has a kind of a bit of a sort of personal connection with the nation. We're not Dutch, but my granddad... Sorry?
Because people might have suspected.
No, you might have thought... No, I'm not. I've lost my train of thought now. Yes, so my granddad was a pastor in Woking. He led a New Frontiers church in Woking for a number of years and ended up working with a number of the New Frontiers churches in Holland for a while and had a kind of a sort of an apostolic kind of relationship with them. But I'd never been to the country, and that was kind of distant history for us. But I guess it's probably why it sort of came to my mind. And then you can pitch it. Oh, tell them about what happened the next day. Okay. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, no, you did. No, so the next day we were in another meeting, and we were kind of processing all that God had said to us the night before. And then someone else came up to me, a friend of mine, and prayed a very similar thing and said, I feel like God's going to call you to move to Europe to plant churches. And it was much shorter and concise this time. And then she sort of toddled off.
Not all prophets toddle, that's not true. During that meeting, it was actually Matt's farewell. So they were like just praying for him and sending him on and just thanking him for kind of serving New Day. And so I was kind of just sitting, observing, just wanted to kind of watch him being honoured, really. It was really special. But at the same time, just a lady came and sat next to me and was, and I think she was just one of the team, the New Day team, but I don't actually know who she was. But she just sat down next to me and she's like, oh, are you guys stopping New Day because you're going church planting in Europe? And I was like, no, like, that, where did that come from? So it was just like, just kind of God just bringing kind of confirmation to us and assurance to us. Do you want me to say anything else?
Yeah, tell them about you visited in the
Okay. So, do you reckon that's autumn? It was December, hey? That's Christmas in my book, for sure. Whenever God speaks, you think, right, we need to go and test this out, go and weigh it, go and see what God's saying. So, we booked a trip to Amsterdam with EasyJet and Easy Hotel, because we're classy like that. And, just spent a day. I was 8 months pregnant, so I was waddling around the city, we just spent a day just walking around, just kind of, yeah, just enjoying the beautiful sights of a very crisp, cold day in Amsterdam, just kind of chatting to people that we met and just praying and just asking God really what he was speaking to us about. And it's funny, like, you can fall in love with places, and Amsterdam is beautiful, but I really love people, and so I kind of was like, I really need to just meet someone who's Dutch. And we actually went for dinner and just got chatting to our waiter, who was called Derek, which is quite funny because that's Matt's dad's name, so it's just stuck in my head. I'm not actually that good at remembering names. And just, he was just so warm and just so like, whatever I can do to help you, just to find and navigate through the menu, like, tell us where to go and visit, all those kind of things. And I was just like... I just really love these people, and just, that's obviously one Dutch man, but it just felt like it was something of the nature of the place that we were in. And then just, we were back in our room, and I was reading a Hudson Taylor, I think maybe the author was John something, anyway, a Hudson Taylor biography, just a really fat book. I'm still reading it, a bit slow reader. But anyway, it was just reading just his stories and his travels to China, and just being like, just the weightiness of like the things that he had to give up, and just the cost of like integrating into a whole nother culture of just like becoming all things to all men, and just the way, I think I just sat in the hotel room and cried, but just knowing that God had spoken, just this assurance that actually God, this was what God wanted for us, and but just feeling the weight of that as well was just really, was encouraging, as well as, you know, crying. I cry a lot, you'll learn that about me. So then we came back from Holland.
this was all kind of happening at the same time as what Joel was sharing about just before, that God was kind of speaking to us here in Brighton about these kind of five cities, the five smooth stones from 1 Samuel 17. So this is all happening for us at the same time as that's happening. So we kind of came back and met with the elders and said, this is what we're going to do. And they said, Matt, as Joel said, just slow down a second. Let's just wait and let's not be too hasty about this. So we got involved in, we started leading the 9 o'clock service out in Shoreham. So if you're not from CCK, we're a multi-site church is what we call it. So there's four different sites or venues that meet on a Sunday. So here, we have two services here, and then at Brighton Racecourse, Hove, and then out in Shoreham, which is near to where we live. So we kind of lead the 9 o'clock service there, which is, 9 o'clock is early. Let me tell you that. That's what we've learnt. 9 o'clock is early, especially when you've got four small children. Trying to get them all up out of the house is a lot of fun. Yeah, that's true. No, we normally leave at about 8. But we run a kind of a more of a cafe-style service. It's a bit more relaxed, and we try and keep a very kind of chilled-out dynamic to it, really, so people can kind of come and encounter God in a slightly different setting from what our other meetings here in the church would be like. So we've done that for sort of 18 months or so. And then the last summer, we met with the elders again and said, look, God's still speaking to us about this. It's still very much on our heart. And they said, great, let's go for it. Let's go and make this happen. So that was back in kind of June, July last year. So we've spent the season since then visiting the country and trying to learn as much about the city as we can. So I've been kind of meeting other pastors who are already in the city, building churches there, and just trying to find out as much information as we can, and just trying to learn the language a little bit as well, bit by bit, and try and teach that to our girls and figure out some of the practical things for us. At the same time, we've been gathering a team together to come and join us. So we've got about 10, 11 of us now who are all kind of 10 adults who are kind of with us, ready to go. So Simon and Lottie Pask, Lottie's sitting in the back, Simon has just disappeared, so they're looking to move later in the year. Tom and Chloe Avery, Chloe's just here, Tom, her husband, couldn't make it today, but they've got two small boys, so they're moving out as well. They're from London, becoming great friends of ours. Thomas and Nelleke, who are a Dutch couple, again, they're expecting a child, so they couldn't come to this today, but they send their love, so they're joining us as well. And then us, Brent, right here. Brent's a bit of a hero because Brent moved to Amsterdam 5 years ago to be part of a church plant that never actually happened. So he was kind of the first one out there, the pioneer on the ground, ready to get started. And then for various reasons, the family that were going to move out and launch the thing never actually got there. So Brent was kind of himself for a while, and in the end got hooked up with the New Frontiers Church in The Hague, which is led by a guy called Chris, which is a brilliant church. And then Brent had to move back for work, but he's kind of trying to get back out there and wants to join with us, which is excellent. A Dutch guy called Lennart as well is the 10th member of our little gang, who's an excellent young man, coming a good friend of ours as well. So that's our kind of a team of people who have said, look, we're in, we're with you, we're behind you. So twice a month, on a Tuesday night, we kind of run a small group, although we're all living in different places. So using the wonders of modern technology, we kind of do a video chat thing on Google Hangouts. So, yeah, it wasn't quite so successful this week, but no, it worked. So we just kind of log in from different parts of where we're living, different parts of Europe, and spend a few hours just talking together and praying and planning and dreaming about what God might do amongst us. So kind of that's where we're up to at the moment. And it's great just to have you guys here today who I'm sure many of you are at different stages of considering, wow, is this something that I could get involved in? Or maybe you're just here to support us. But it's really great to have you here.
Is there anything else we should...
No, can I just... Thanks. I think just for me, just it's been incredible just watching what God's weaving. So for us, it was kind of like 2 years ago, probably just a bit over now, that God first started speaking to us about Amsterdam. But at the same time, it was like speaking to Tom and Chloe, and just as we kind of getting to know each other, just our stories keep kind of weaving in and out. Even like we went over for our summer holiday and we borrowed a house off some people that we'd never met. Just God's provision in it has just been just ridiculous. But the people who lived like four doors down in this little close that we were staying in were part of the church in Rijswijk, and we're on holiday the first week, but we hung out with them the second week, and just like they're Thomas and Nelika, who are now coming with us, but became friends with them. And like their kids don't speak English, our kids don't speak Dutch yet, but laughing and screaming is the same in both languages. So these kids just running around screaming and laughing outside, and just it's just been incredible just how God's just kind of just pulling people in who, like 2 years ago, we didn't even know, but God's obviously working on their heart. And it's just so reassuring, like, even just that there's even people in the room today that, like, God's doing something. God's got a plan for Amsterdam, and we get to go and be a part of it.
Yeah. Now, that's so right. That is right. As we've kind of gone on with this journey, we kind of keep discovering, wow, look at what God's already done. He's already been planning this and kind of gone ahead of us. So Leonard, who I mentioned just before, he spent a year in South Africa, in Cape Town, serving a church there for a year. And this was 2-3 years ago. So about the time that God was beginning to speak to us, he was at he's Dutch but doesn't come from Amsterdam, and he was at a conference where Mark Driscoll, who's a Christian preacher from the States, was there, and he bumps into Mark and starts having a conversation with him. And Mark says to him, "Well, where are you from?" And he says, "Oh, I'm from Holland." And he says to him, "Oh, are you from Amsterdam?" Because that was the place in Holland that he knew. And Leonard says, "No, I'm not there." And then explain that for a lot of Dutch people, they don't really have a lot of affection for Amsterdam. They don't almost see it as a very Dutch city. It's kind of a bit. They don't really see it as Dutch, because a lot of Dutch will be quite conservative in nature. And Amsterdam, if you know anything about it, is a very kind of liberal city. And in some ways, they'd almost look down on it a little bit. So he said, "No, I'm not from there. You know, there's lots of problems in that city. It's not a very nice place," was kind of how he described it. And Mark kind of eyeballs him, looks him in the eye, and says, "That's why I love that city." He said, "Because God loves cities like that. And God wants to see churches established in cities like that." And that kind of, Leonard was totally undone in that moment. And from then on, knew that he had to get involved in a church plant in Amsterdam. So moved back to Holland with that. So he moved back not knowing anything about what we were up to, and just went back to his hometown and has been kind of waiting for something to happen ever since. So then we got in touch a couple of months ago, and it's just remarkable how God's kind of been pulling things together behind the scenes and drawing things out. And I met with a pastor 2 weeks ago, an English pastor who knew my granddad back from 20 odd years ago and used to travel with my granddad out to Holland. He said to me, "You realize your granddad used to pray that we'd see a church planted in Amsterdam?" I was like, "I didn't know that." So you think even while that is something in my own kind of family history, that there's been prayers that have been brought to God of, "Let's see something established in that city," and now we're kind of working that out is exciting. What is our pray, and then we'll have lunch. Or eat lunch. God, we thank you for this morning, for how you've just been just unpacking through us and through Joel a little bit of this story so far. We thank you that your heart is very much set towards this city, and that you've been pulling the strings and you've been making things happen behind the scenes even before we realized it. Lord, thank you that you've gone ahead of us, that you know the venues we're going to meet in, and you know the future leaders and elders and small group leaders and kids workers in the church. You've already lined it all up, God. You've gone ahead of us. We thank you for gathering us here today, and we pray that you just carry on speaking to us and carry on doing good to us today. We pray you'd, just as we have lunch together, you just knit some relationships together, help us to get to know one another and begin to build some friendships. And we pray you just continue to speak to us today. Amen. Amen. Amen.